What do you do?
Oh, well.
Oh, how do we describe... What's that phrase that you dreamt up that really described it? Something about a musico-vocal...
I wasn't dreaming. You spent about an hour with the cinema.
Well, I know. We'll just go, what is it? Musical vocal entertainment.
Well, it's truly refined musical vocal entertainment.
Spiced with vaudevillian delights.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been in this country?
On this trip, we've just been here since
about a year.
Yes, about a year. About a year, that's right.
Playing in Vancouver up in Canada.
Yes, before we came, and then we played in Los Angeles for the first half of this year, from February till about the end of July. Was it June or July? Somewhere around there, yes.
You've been in this country long enough to form impressions of it, then.
Oh, very definitely,
yes. What are some of your impressions of America? Do you really get a chance to see it very much, I mean, from the nightclubs that you perform in and so forth?
Well, I think North America is one of the nicest countries I have ever been in.
Yes. How many countries have you been in?
We've been in Europe as well. Yes, we've traveled around Europe. We actually met in Geneva in Switzerland, you see. What else do we think about the United States, Andrew? Well, Andrew's American, you see.
You're from New York. Mm. Yeah, what do you think about the United States?
Well, I think the United States is the nicest country I have ever been in.
Yes, quite, Andrew. You said that before.
That's what you told me to say.
I know. Don't say that. We're on the radio.
Your names are
the passport.
Mycroft Partner and Andrew I.
Yes, that's right.
Why?
Because we were christened that.
Were you really?
Yes. Andrew's father. Tell him about your father, Andrew. He was a famous Manhattan financier.
Don't speak about that. It's so pompous. Yes. You're always speaking about my father. Huh?
Yes. Well, anyway, and my father was a planter in Malaya. Mm. So, consequently...
What did he plant?
Rubber. He was a rubber planter. And at a very short age, I was sent to England, and I was sent to school. Some of the best schools in and around London, etc.
They
were the best ones, Andrew. And from there, I decided to educate myself further. I always believe this is a very basic thing which everybody should do sometime in their life. So I decided to travel, and I was singing, actually. I have a rather fine bass voice, if I may say so myself. And I was singing in Geneva, actually. I was a resident singer.
Switzerland.
That's where I met Andrew. Andrew was on holiday. And he sang a couple. It was at an after-ski party, actually. Andrew sang a couple of funny songs, and I sang a few arias. And the crowd actually were very kind to us, kind to both of us. So I asked Andrew if he would like to form a duo.
I sang 18 songs.
Well, it's because I kept getting encores, Andrew. And instead of returning to his native New York, Andrew decided that this would, really be something else, I believe the expression is. Something else. I can't understand that. Never mind. So we decided to form a duo, and we performed for the archdukes and duchesses and the kaisers, etc., etc., in and around Europe. And then we decided to come to the United States.
Where have you been in the United States, and where have you performed?
Well, you see, the performing in clubs and in concerts and things like that is really pretty recent for us, because really we were doing it for fun, really. We were playing for Lady Agatha's garden parties and Lady Agatha's friends in Europe.
Tell the gentleman who Lady Agatha is.
Lady Agatha's my godmother.
Well, Lady Agatha Lovelace Barton.
She was my godmother, Lady Agatha Lovelace Barton.
That sounds very English.
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Not at all. She was very definitely American from way back, I should think. She was
English,
three or four generations she was American. And she lives in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So we used to play for her and at her big parties, etc., and for her friends around the country.
The spa pump rooms and winter gardens in Europe. And then we played for her back east a bit. But unfortunately, the great
it's
stuff. Very,
sort it's so it's difficult.
You've been moving west, then, starting in from the East Coast, and now you're all the way just about as far as you can go here in Berkeley. Where do you go from here?
We're going back east now. Mm-hmm. You see, we decided that something unfortunate happened, actually, and we couldn't just perform for fun anymore. We had to actually go into it as a way of life, which we find it very enjoyable. So we decided, anyway, to make a clean break and start playing the nightclubs in the West Coast. And work our way back east, which is what we're doing now, and we intend to go to Chicago very shortly.
Is it possible to give the listeners an idea of what they might expect if they walked into a club and you two were just about to come on?
What do you do?
I mean, there you are.
Indeed.
Yes.
And you both sing.
Oh, yes.
Except I get the impression that you, Mr. Partner, sing songs which are somewhat more serious than the songs that Mr. I sings. Is that correct, or do you sing together?
Pompous.
Well, they're not. Yes, they're just
pompous songs.
Yeah, well, they are.
They're just a little more serious. Andrew is very frivolous and jolly, etc., and a little absurd at times.
I am not absurd.
You are absurd, Andrew. There's no, this is not the time.
Well, what if
I admit I was absurd last Wednesday, but it has nothing to do with
it. It has plenty to do with that. I keep telling you the whole
gentlemen,
you weren't absurd behind
please. What are some of the songs that you sing, Mr. I?
Sorry, Micro.
That's all right.
Mr. I? He called me
Mr. I.
You can call
me no relation telegram the other day. You're no relation to the Hungry Eye.
Well, no, that's another thing. People always start. People think that the Hungry Eye copied their name off, copied their name off me. But I'd like to say that this is not true. Mr. Banducci's having a hard time, I understand, because many people think that he stole his name from my family. But this is probably just a coincidence. You see, my name was originally French, long time ago. But it was a
Andrew
long about four generations ago. Some people think it's Scottish, like the eyes.
Andrew, must we go through all this? Is it really necessary? It's just Andrew.
It's interesting.
It's not interesting, really. It's just very boring.
There are some eye clans.
Yes, but I've heard it 10 times before. Andrew. Anyway, his name is I. It's as simple as that. Yeah.
What are some of the songs that you sing?
Oh yes, the songs. Well, we sing songs like Oh, I love a good laugh.
Ha, ha, for a wonderful cure.
Don't interrupt when I'm seeing Andrew.
That sounds like a Restoration Catch or something like that.
Well, actually, it was written in the middle of the 1880s, I should think.
It's a little late. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perhaps a little earlier, but not too much. And we sing Whispering and Abdullah Bulbul Amir.
That's where I give a rose whispering to the prettiest girl in the room.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What else do we sing in? What's some of your favorite?
I wish I could shimmy like my sister Kate's probably my favorite run.
What about the flies?
Oh, well, that's my second favorite.
Flies?
Mm. Yeah, I know where the flies go.
In the wintertime.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with that.
Each year in September, up the wall they climb.
That's enough. This is all these songs were sort of popular vaudeville songs.
They were, yes.
Our material ranges
like
from 18.
Kate, Sister Kate, that seems very old-fashioned.
Not
do gentlemen
at all.
Consider yourselves old-fashioned?
At all.
It depends which way you mean old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned.
1880 to 1930 is probably the framework within which we work.
Yes, that's where we get most of our material from. All of our material, in fact.
We sort of vaudevillian delights, as I said before. We do escapes, too. This weekend we'll be featuring the escapological spectacular, The Great Escape.
And we also
Mycroft's
have
some best escapes.
Did you say eschatological spectacular?
No, escapological.
Ah, I see, yes. I just didn't understand from that.
It's all right. Yeah. And then we also have some impersonations, and we occasionally introduce a folk song into our act.
That's
very modern,
songs,
unless it's a new
folk
song.
Not at all. On the contrary, we try and... I won't go any further, but we just try and set an example by our particular folk songs. We're rather dismayed at the sort of folk songs that are being sung nowadays, to be quite honest.
What kinds of folk songs do you sing?
Songs like, Oh, No John, No John, No John, As I Went Milking Upon the Merry
Way. A-milking.
And things like this. And what else do we include, Andrew, in our act?
Well, occasionally we have juggling.
Yes, and sometimes...
Digitation.
Yes, and sometimes I have given on some occasions, not recently, I must admit, a demonstration of hypnosis in which I hypnotize the entire room.
Are you adept at this? I mean, have you studied hypnology
in
school? And
yes. Is it hypnology? I never heard of that.
It is one of the words, yes.
Oh,
hypnosis.
What happens when you hypnotize an entire room?
The point is this. And you see, I believe that many hypnotists, which one can see on stage today, always take several people out of the audience. You see, well, one never really knows if these people are planted there or not.
It's not so much that, it's because we find it bad taste. You see, ridicule them in front of their friends and neighbors.
You find it embarrassing, exhibitionism. Mm. So to avoid any of this, I hypnotize the entire room.
When the entire room is hypnotized, though, I mean, how do they appreciate the act?
Well, they always enjoy it. That's all I can say. They always enjoy it.
Well, when you were talking about folk songs before, I was wondering whether you had any particular feelings toward the new folk singers who are writing some of their own songs and calling them folk songs, Bob Dylan or Johnny Baez, who is singing Bob Dylan's songs and so forth.
Dylan,
you seem entirely different.
Dylan, I didn't know Bob Dylan.
Dylan Thomas.
No, Bob Dylan.
I see. Bob Dylan.
Robert.
Robert. Robert Dylan. We're not very familiar with him, actually. We haven't met him. And we always like to meet the writers of the songs before we perform them. We like to have a little sort of communication there to see exactly what he had in mind. Unfortunately, as a gentleman pointed out before, he was very pleased at our diction. And
This is one of the faults which we have, with which we find in many of the singers today, folk singers and otherwise, that one really can't distinguish on many occasions what they're saying, let alone what language they're speaking in.
That's a bit much.
It's not a bit much, Andrew.
Let me interrupt
right
now.
You hear that song, Woolly Woolly Sham Bang, or something? I heard it on the radio the other day.
Let me try to interrupt right now and point out...
You can, it's your show. You can do anything you like, can't you, Andrew?
Who is this gentleman?
Yes,
who is
somebody this? Walked in the room.
Yes, with us now, as a late addition to the group assembled around this table here in Studio B, is Phil Elwood, who can be introduced by any either of you gentlemen, if you like, too.
Andrew and I already know each other. We...
Mycroft Power. Oh, how do you do?
How do you do? We met each other waiting for an opportunity to crash a Tom Lehrer show.
Oh, yes, I do remember now. Of course I do remember. As a matter of fact, I even gave you a piece of paper once.
That's right. That's right.
Yes, we lend them a dollar.
I'm trying to get an impression from these two gentlemen about what they do when they come on a stage. Have you seen them, Phil?
Oh, I saw them very recently.
Were you hypnotized by them?
Well, I've always
been
somewhat hipper than... I beg your pardon?
No, sorry. Carry on. Didn't interrupt.
I was very much taken by their act. I've never heard anyone so successfully capture the sounds of acoustic recordings before. Normally, we're used to a full fidelity voice. It reminded me of some jazz groups right after the World War II who, in their devotion to early New Orleans styles, muted all of their horns in order to sound like pre-electrical recordings. And these two gentlemen have captured the sounds of acoustic recordings. And more important than that, they've also captured the fun of
Do you play instruments?
Oh, yes. We both play guitars. Andrew plays recorder, and he also plays trummerblatt. And he's working on the phono fiddle.
Well, what are those last two instruments? I'm not familiar with them.
Well, the recorder is.
Yes, the recorder. Yes. That's not one of the last two. There's
the trummerblatt.
Yeah, tell them about the trummerblatt, Andrew. Afterwards.
Oh, the trummerblatt is a very interesting instrument which sort of combines the clarity of the piccolo with the mellowness of the tuba and also the happy, rough and ready sounds of the Irish harp. Sometimes it captures the lonely anguish of the triangle sometimes. Yes. Telling,
matter of fact, these two both play the same guitar on occasion.
At the same time. Oh,
yes, at the same time. Yes. Forwards and backwards, that is, they are forward, the
guitars. It's not because we can't afford a second one, as that rude gentleman said the other day.
Yes, Andy pointed out. It was the whole night. He missed the entire point of the choreography. Mm-hmm. Oh, the trumpet, actually. What was it consists of? How's it go?
What goes?
He has a little introduction in which he introduces
it. Oh, before singing. Well, that depends on the crowd.
Yes, I see.
And before an average
playing
crowd.
Playing trumpet this weekend.
Mm. Where?
Oh, at the Jabberwock.
Where's that?
Oh, it's a club in... What's the name of this town?
Berkeley.
In Berkeley.
Yes. 29 something. What's the address again? Read that. Something at 29001, something like that.
Telegraph near Ashby.
That's
actually
what it
says. At Russell.
It's the Jabberwock. I thought it was the Jack in the Box this morning. Was it Jabberwock?
Jabberwock. Yeah.
According to this handout, you're going to be in town for positively two nights only. Are you going to stay in the Bay Area more than two nights, or are you going to depart for the East again? After your stay here in Berkeley?
Oh, I should think we'll be leaving fairly shortly for the East.
For Chicago first,
for Chicago.
Then New York and Boston.
I don't mean to get too personal, but one point...
Well, don't then.
I just can't resist asking it. At one point, there was some talk in the State Department that British acts coming into this country might likely be British secret agents. Who
I
are traveling
Let me make first that we are not a British
I told you this morning, and you said
I have
no.
an immigration thing. I'm in one of these little green cards. I'm an alien, as you put it.
Well, you must admit that would be an excellent way of coming into the country and seeing as much as you wanted to see.
Yes. I must
for your own purposes.
Yes, yes, that's true, but I can't imagine why anybody would want to do that. Well, all we've seen, actually, in Los Angeles is miles and miles of freeway and big size.
How do you compare Los Angeles and San Francisco?
There's no comparison, I might say. No comparison. Is there, Andrew? What was that, yes or no?
That's yes, there's no comparison.
Yes, isn't it? Right. No comparison between the two. One is a very small, intimate, friendly, cultural town, and the other one is, dear me.
Which is which?
Oh,
That's the part we never
Yeah,
get
exactly.
Right.
That's quite what I haven't sorted out at the moment, yes. I'll let you know as soon as we've decided.
Do you have any opinions on the British singing groups who are making such a big splash in this country now?
I say one up to them. Sorry.
Oh, my God, he's always pushing for his ancestors.
As long as they entertain the public, this is the whole idea of the thing, and if they do that successfully, then good luck to them. We can't always say that we agree with what they do. We can't always say that we agree with the public they entertain. That's another matter altogether. we find some of them very enjoyable indeed.
It isn't strictly an up-the-yanks attitude on your part, then.
Oh, no, not at all. Oh, no. Good heavens, no. I might add, I might echo Andrew Stapleton that the United States is one of the finest countries I have ever been in.
But still, we like English things, too.
Yes.
Admitting a great deal of originality on your part, it's obvious to me that you have done some studying of early vaudeville and stage and music hall routines. How did you do that?
Well, what do they mean by early, you see? Because our material ranges from about 1880 to 1930, but we didn't know that there was any vaudeville after 1930, because if there is, we've sure missed something. We understand that there's a gentleman in Tibet who tried to start something, but it didn't work too well as music hall. But apart from that, we thought that vaudeville...
Pretty far out. Mm.
How do we
He means that for today it's early.
Yes, exactly, yes. Yes, you completely went off the subject. I forget. Sorry, could you say how did we study?
I wondered where you picked up some of these routines.
You're both very young. This should be pointed out. How
obviously,
old are
you've taken nothing from Moran and Mac, Gallagher and Sheen, a little of that,
well, they're all coming
Smith
on
and Dale.
Very
do they
well,
no.
Well, the point is that what is the point exactly?
You're doing things visually that I've only heard done before.
Oh, I see.
I've heard these routines, some of them, but I've never seen them, and I don't see how you managed after all these years.
Are you accusing these two of plagiarism? I mean, I want to get
quite on the contrary. I think they have put the visual along with sounds, which
that's because you were too young to see them then when the
of course.
Heard it on records.
Oh, no, I see what Jethro was getting at. How? He thinks we're so young, the same problem.
Another one.
Yes. Well, you see, the problem is,
as
I explained before, we might as well get down to the brass tacks.
We don't like talking about
age. We don't like talking about age and time and dates and things because, as Andrew says, this is very clinical and it's very, it's much too definite. And we believe that life should just go on and one shouldn't be so, what's the word, Andrew? Regimented by numbers, et cetera, et cetera. So, in other words, that we try and live.
So, age is just a matter of pleasant
memories,
et cetera. That's exactly what
I'm saying. And when we unfortunately had to. Give up our hobby, which was just playing for friends, etc., and make
like
it
Lady Agatha.
And make this a way of life. We decided that we wouldn't grow any older.
It would be more practical.
Exactly. In other words,
this has nothing to do with this earlier gentleman in Tibet that you were mentioning.
No, around 1930, that because of certain economic
financial
things.
Difficulties, actually, which happened around that time, we decided in that day that we would have to do this professionally rather than just playing for friends. But we decided, in order to enjoy it as much as we had been enjoying, we wouldn't grow a day older. So in other words, we are no older than we were then. So in other words, when you say that you find it difficult to imagine to see how we saw these performers, etc., well, we were right in the middle of them. There they were, all around us. So ours is very much a style which is very current in those days.
Well, measured in years, how old would that make you?
I've never worked it out. Yeah.
Youth is not a time of life, a state of mind, you see.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that's
exactly.
Very good. You should write that down.
Yes.
I believe it has been.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I'd make copyright it before someone steals it from me. Yeah. Well, that's, yes, that I think answers that sort of problem, doesn't it?
Now, how about recordings?
How about recordings?
We would assume that pretty soon you would be...
Tommy's going to try to make a deal with us.
Be finding your way onto recordings. And what is concerning me is that the visual enjoyment that I had of your performances may well also be lost to future generations who will only be able to hear you on the phonograph.
It's very intelligent. And you write for the paper. That's right, yes. It's a very perceptive man. Mm. Well, we've also thought of this, and for this reason, because we haven't been seen by the entire country, we have decided to postpone our recordings until the entire country does see us.
I thought maybe you'd finally come up with the answer to my dreams of record collecting over the years, and that was a recording which also had film.
Well, they're doing that nowadays, aren't they?
Yeah, scopatone.
Meant that where the artists stand up on the record as it's being played.
Oh,
it would solve all the problems of identifying the musicians on the label.
That you wouldn't even have room to
names like Dizzy Gillespie would take on new meaning.
That's right.
Yes, I see what you mean. Yes, it's very interesting.
And your entry could come from either side of the record, as it did the other night in performance. You see, you could come in.
Where would we be when the record was put away?
Oh, you'd be flattened out, you see, as it whirled, the centrifugal force would stand up the figures on the recorder.
Like an old Rose and Lady Agatha's books.
I don't quite agree with that.
I wonder if the visual element of this this conversation is being lost, and if there's some way we can experiment and try and capture it. Would it be possible?
Go into TV.
No, that's something which is, you know, a budgetary problem, but
I could suggest the obvious commercial solution, and that is that they could be seen this weekend, but that's...
What if they described each other?
Oh, yeah, that would be a pleasure.
All right.
Mr. I, what does Mr. Partner look like to you as he's sitting across the table?
Well, he looks a bit like a nightmare I had in 1932.
That's not exactly what the gentleman meant.
You can start with your outfits.
Well, I think Mycroft tries to... It's sort of an old Assyrian...
Just my appearance, Andrew.
I mean, if I may say so, your wardrobe, while in excellent condition, is somewhat different from what we're accustomed to seeing on the streets of Berkeley.
Yes, we do find that fashions have taken a turn for the worse. I tell you, 1929, 1930, it's like a railroad siding, a switch, that's what it was. Just went off in the wrong direction.
You're both wearing blue double-breasted pinstripe
suits.
That's
correct,
yes. That is correct.
Did you have them tailored recently in this country, or did
these
you have them since the early 1930s?
Recently. I think these were actually done in Vancouver.
Yes,
we were
they were.
In
we found a nice little tailor there. And Andrew's wearing a bow tie with a handkerchief in the left-hand top
pocket.
Can't
see my crotch because his beard hides it.
Does that beard indicate anything? Is it a spirit of rebellion? Or Phil Elwood is just leaving, and since you're not going to hear his voice on this tape for the duration of it, I think we can all say goodbye. Goodbye, Phil.
Goodbye, Mr. Phil.
I hate to break your prediction. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Mr. Elwood.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm. Come back. Yeah. Nice having you.
Well, getting back to where we were, if anyone can remember where we were. Oh, your beard, that's right.
My beard,
I was about to ask you whether this is, you know, a rebellious thing that you've grown or...
Not at all. I find it very much...
It's very common in Berkeley, but, you know, there are various reasons for growing them.
Well,
I suppose, and they vary with the individual. I'm wondering what yours was.
Abraham Lincoln beard.
Well, it's very dignified, I find, myself. It sort of gives a man... just that little extra
I've
something.
I've been growing one for the last 2 years. I guess you can't see too much of it yet.
Oh, you seem to have no beard at all.
No,
exactly. And he needs to put his face out the window and the wind blows it off.
I see. And your hair, both of you have parts in the middle of your hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's a style which we haven't seen very much of. I'm wondering whether that has any particular significance.
Yes. The point is, as I said, that when we decided not to grow a day older, we decided not to change in any way. So consequently, we still wear the styles which they wore in those days.
Each of you would be about 60 or 70 years old.
You didn't have to wear a girdle in those days.
As I say,
In years, literally.
Please, no dates. You'll only confuse yourself, actually.
I'm confused already.
Oh, well, in which case you can make as many dates as
you want. It doesn't show.
No, you look very straight, you see. It's a false cigarette you've had, you know.
Yes. I noticed neither of you seem to be smoking.
No, I occasionally smoke a small cigar.
Manila.
Andrew tends to choke a little on this sweet cigarette, so we just...
In advertising, you know, in Britain, they have taken steps against the cigarette ad, especially as
so
it...
they have.
Another visitor has just spontaneously and creatively made his way into the studio.
Yes, improvisational.
This is John Whiting, and this is my partner and I.
Oh, I see.
My partner and I.
Yes, but I'm his partner too. But
I saw
him.
People wandering in and out of this studio, and
it's a free for all. Yes, you can just wander.
We're
in
having
and wander
an open
around.
House, yeah. Actually. Why don't you talk with these gentlemen and ask them anything that enters your mind?
Well,
just anything.
Nothing has entered my mind in a long time.
That's a shame.
And,
there's a good university here.
Could you possibly remedy this situation?
Well, I can only suggest that the Berkeley courses, I don't think, are filled up, and there's all sorts of courses one can take, etc., and might find some very interesting things going on there.
Well, those are terribly expensive, and actually
I found
that coming in here, there was no one at the door collecting money, and
I realized that this was free education, I understand.
This looked free, and it looked perhaps not reasonable, but...
We're very reasonable. Andrew, what can we instruct the gentleman in any particular subject?
How about entomology?
Entomology would be particularly interesting.
Yes, I'm bugs on the subject, actually.
What sort of bugs?
Oh,
well, John.
Andrew knows all about little things that run around under trees and stones and things like that.
Yes, I'm supposed to ask you questions, actually.
Oh, very well. Ask Andrew something then.
Taking over again, Michael.
Yes, I know. I'm sorry. Will you ask him about bugs and things?
Yes, I would like to know. What do you know about entomology?
Well, I don't know as much about entomology as I know about archaeology, actually. See, what happened, really, is that I was really interested in archaeology, and then I started digging in the ground, and then whenever I started, long before I even got to any worthwhile strata of any sort, I always ran into all these crawling things. I used to find them a bit icky, you know, but after a while I really got used to them, and once I brought Willie in the house, Mycroft just... Yeah. Wow.
Yes, it takes a strong stomach to be an archaeologist. It takes a strong stomach to be an archaeologist.
Well, before you get down, yes, that's right.
Strong back, too.
I want to know some more about Willie. Do you have this tarantula with you still?
No, good heavens. We don't have it with us.
Stepped on it.
It was in the bath. Fortunately, I stepped on it before it bit me.
John is familiar with scorpions.
Yes,
so I think he has.
I never had a tarantula. I had a scorpion
once.
We were
in Mexico City. We saw. Was it a little girl or a little boy? I understand little girls are much more dangerous.
Well, I was... my mother used to tell me that. I never became familiar enough with it to determine its sex, actually.
Wise man,
I never had that sort
of
relationship with it.
It has all...
Sometimes they stay in your bed sheets at night. They come in.
Yes.
At the risk of being presumptuous, I wonder whether I can ask if you ever do any singing a cappella, and if you'd be gracious enough to conclude the interview with a sample of the kinds of songs that you do.
I'm not familiar with that composer.
Who, a cappella?
A cappella.
Oh, he means unaccompanied. Any songs unaccompanied? Any songs unaccompanied? I have one song in mind.
Oh, no, that's a terrible song, Mycroft.
Well, exactly, this is the problem.
Horrible.
But also it's...
That's one of those pompous ones I told you he sings all the
time.
But
the point is that it's very visual as well.
Can't we sing the flies?
No, we can't sing the flies. I haven't got a guitar, so we can't.
I know where the flies go.
Well, exactly, there's no compliment. He's stuck when he comes to the breaks, and they're supposed to be ching-chong, ching-ching, see, on the guitar. So I think we better decline the invitation and just say that anybody who really would like to hear some songs should come along Friday and Saturday. I think that we can round it off just a little better then.
Well, I want to thank both of you gentlemen, Mr. Mycroft Partner and Mr. Andrew I. And our latecomer into the studio, John Whiting, and on behalf of Phil Elwood, who left earlier, that's all.
Good night. Oh, rather, good afternoon. When is this going on?
We don't know, so just to play it safe, you can say
good morning,
night,
good afternoon, or good night, depending
as the case may be.
Thank you.
Goodbye.